The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as your friendly tech wizard, sorta, and former captain of the Hufflepuff Quidditch team, the flannel wizard, yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design witch, the fascination of fourth year, and my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hola! Schön, dass ihr da seid. Willkommen zurück to our little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Come on in. This is the 15th episode of Shell Cottage Radio, in which we will discuss Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone, Chapter 7, The Sorting Hat. And today we have another very special guest with us. Her Instagram handle says it all. Angelina from Slytherin Reading Room will be our guest host for this episode. Together with her, we're going to dive into a deep chapter discussion. We will skip the beasts and catch up for today, and instead want to know more about Angelina and have her sweat through some trivia. But guys, you better enjoy my voice right now.
Yeah.
Because
all is about to change.
It's going to change. I am so sorry.
I am so sorry. I want to say I the tech wizard has let you guys down, and I apologize. I don't know what happened. We didn't record Lottie's audio. We did a whole new setup, and I have no idea. I think I was, you know, God bless Angelina, because
yes.
She was probably struggling to hear you.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought she could hear you just fine. And it wasn't until after the episode I was like, oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. Your microphone was either on zero or it just wasn't turned on. She was hearing you through my microphone.
Yes, the whole time.
God bless her. So I am really sorry that you're going to hear. If you're joining us for the first time, please go back to other episodes where the quality has been a little a little better.
Yes.
Because it's about to go downhill right now. So anyway, just bear with us and just know that we have talked to Angelina and we said, hey, let's have you back on soon.
Oh, definitely.
Very soon.
We owe her that.
Yeah, we do. Because you don't get to hear all the little nuances and the little.
Yeah. Just know that sometimes you might have to adjust your volume a little bit here and there. So we tried our best to save the episode. We thought we would have to re-record it, but we could save it. So that's all good.
Yeah.
We'll definitely have Angelina back.
We will. We will. Because she was so fun. It was such a good conversation. And it was just really cool chatting with her. And I really wanted those first feels, that first, you know, moment. So she was actually our first guest that we did virtually, right?
Right. Yeah.
So like through a program that I call StreamYard. And it's different. So if you guys want to do it in the future, we know like, it would have been perfect.
Yeah. And the fun part is
it would have been perfect.
The funny part is that she kept saying she was nervous before the episode because she thought, oh, what if her audio, something's wrong or her video doesn't work or her internet crashes or something.
Good.
And now it was us.
It was us, Angelina.
So
holy
sorry,
smokes.
Angelina.
Yeah. So anyways, God bless her. And she's wonderful. And she's been around since the days of Swish and Flick. And it was really cool. It was just cool to kind of go back down memory lane a little bit and think back on good times. And so just a wonderful person. And we will have her back on. And
without any further ado, we give you Angelina.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm so happy to be here.
How are you? How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I'm so pumped that you're here, and I've already complimented you on the Star Wars shirt.
The famous Ezra.
Oh, I don't know about that now. We love Star Wars. We love Harry Potter. We love all these different like nerdy fandoms. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people like to embrace their nerddom, you know, like just really embrace it.
So. Yes, that's what we're doing.
We're just going to talk about how did you kind of find us? I think you listened to Ez before this. Yeah, what's your story behind this?
So in 2018, I came across, I was looking for podcasts, and I'll get into how I got into Harry Potter after this if you want. But
yeah,
looking through random podcasts because I had just finished Harry Potter, and I just came upon Swish and Flick, and I picked it because of their logo.
Yeah.
So I just started listening, and I can't, you know, I think I was a year behind. I can't remember how far behind it was, but at some point, one of the hosts took a maternity leave, and Ezra filled in for her as he was a close friend of hers. So I believe he helped them get started as well.
Yeah.
So just like Lottie, you know, that's the first time I heard Ezra, and I have such a long commute to and from work, and, you know, just listen to this podcast. And so Ezra has this such calming and relaxing voice. It was just like, when you get out of work, I don't want to listen to music. It's like, let me just listen to this podcast, you know. And then I think he was there for about a month maybe. But then, so I was like, well, let me, you know, I started following him to see, you know, just because, you know, I saw he did a Star Wars podcast, Hyperspace. Yep. I even tried to read Lord of the Rings so I could follow that podcast. I signed up for Facebook. I got 3 chapters in. I was like, I can't do it.
It's a lot. It is a lot.
It's very different from
Harry Potter. So, but I was like, you know, I like Star Wars. Let me just listen to this. You know, when I was caught up with the other podcast, I would switch over. And So, yeah. And then it was funny because as soon as other people would come across him on the Swish and Flick, you would see it on Facebook like, oh, my God, who's Ezra? Look at his voice. It's so wonderful.
No, right?
Is he cute? What does he look like? And it was just
Oh my god.
No, we just kept seeing that, like, as soon as anybody came across his part, everybody was on Facebook going crazy.
I think they started to block those. I used to get messages from the host like, oh my god, like a thread has started again. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'll never forget, I got in there one, because I didn't believe it. I got in there and I was like, because you don't really think much about your own voice. You're sort of like, oh, whatever. Yeah. Because I've always loved to talk and sing and do, you know, funny things, tell stories or whatever. And after getting feedback, I'm like, God, I was born to do radio. I would love to go
really
and do some, you know, some solid podcasting, radio, whatever. And seeing those was really cool and really funny. And everyone was really super chipper. I think it was also the idea, people are like, he's a Hufflepuff. And I was like, let's go. Hufflepuffs need more love. I mean, flat out.
So, yeah. And then this is might be too much, but I had to get a wisdom tooth pulled out last year.
Yeah.
And I was so nervous. I went back to one of the recordings and I was like, let me listen to this while I get my wisdom tooth pulled, just to like have his calm voice while I was being tortured.
That is unreal. Oh my gosh. You're just making my day over here, Angelina. I'm just like, wow. I did. Cause from afar, you know, just people who follow and you go back, you check their profiles, you're looking around stuff. It's so interesting. And people who live all over the world or wherever. And it's just fascinating that there's this common thread of, you know, we love this thing and then we get to kind of connect over that. And it just is really cool. And I've always got really good vibes from you and from other people who follow from that project specifically, because Harry Potter is there's something about being a Potterhead that's really, they're good people, right? So
it's a good community. Lottie, what year were you listening to when you came across? Because I know I heard a little bit in the first, when you first heard his voice on the podcast.
That was actually in 2020. Like mid-2020 when I was doing my master's program.
Yeah.
And also, like you said, it's often we have this in common where we have something that we don't necessarily like to do. And same thing, I tried to do my master's program, write my thesis. And I would have I would take my bike to get to volleyball practice. And every time it was like a long bike ride. And then one day I remember I was in the kitchen when they had Ezra on the podcast. And I was like, wow, who is this?
Wild. That is just what, well, see, I think what it is too, we've actually joked, Angelina, about doing like sleep podcast or things like really put you to sleep. Cause I always make the joke as a teacher that I'm like, I didn't know I had this power until I started teaching, and I'm in a classroom teaching English. We're going over Romeo and Juliet. I put almost the entire class to sleep. Straight up, just was like, and it was one of those days where I wanted to, you know, I didn't want to, like, I mean, that sounds bad as a teacher, but I was sort of like, yeah, you know what, let's just lull these kids in. It was a Friday. It was like late. I'm like, we all need to calm down. So yeah, you put on the monotone and you just start lecturing about Shakespeare, and the kids were out. And I was like, you know what, I could do something with that. Because then you also, like, on different days, you can conjure them up, get them all fired up and everything, and they're all good to go. And the more I thought, because that's really how I got into podcasting, was I was doing a podcast called Rebel Watch, which was a yeah, Star Wars podcast. And my friends were like, hey, how do you do that? What's the whole deal? And then, but you know, prior to that, I was like, it was my students who I could see the reaction to my storytelling, because they didn't get it. Like, when I would retell Romeo and Juliet to them, they were like, we get it. Like, you could simplify it, you could put it in your own words, and I don't know, put your spin on it. And it was good. And I always liked telling stories. So I was like, well, you know what, maybe I'll figure out a way to do that with Star Wars. And then Swish and Flick came around. It was wild. You know, and I have to thank them. I think our first episode, we gave them a huge shout out in our very first episode, yes, of this episode. Yeah. 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 Because I was like, Tiffany up there has been my friend for so long, played softball with my sister, just had a beautiful baby as well.
Yeah.
I should be thanking Alana every day that she was a boy, that she was born. So it was just really cool. And I've always wanted to give them a lot of credit, because, you know, as much as, you know, setting up the microphones and the technology is whatever, but they went on there and did something that was like magical. And I always said to my other friends or buddies or people who were a little down on them or a little jelly because of their success and stuff, I'm like, these are four women who went on there and are just owning. And I love it. I absolutely love their spirit and their energy. And I've always pushed for that. And I guess it felt really good to get some good energy back. People are like, you know what, that guy, you know, fits their vibe and was really chill. And then came and listened to my project. So I'm always like super blessed that I had that opportunity, because they are huge. They're big and I love it. Oh, wow.
All right. I mean, enough about us.
Yeah.
I want to know more about you, Angelina.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us more about your relationship, really, with the wizarding world. And also, you have a little Bookstagram account.
Yeah, it's about a year old, January 2021. But so 6 years ago, if you would have told me I would be a Harry Potter fan, let alone be on a Harry Potter podcast, I would have said, you're nuts.
Yeah.
In 2016, my sister, who had always been a big fan and I'd always teased her, wanted to go to Universal Studios for her birthday to go to the Wizarding World. So we all went, and I spent the whole day. They have a Hogsmeade out there.
Yeah.
And I spent the whole day asking dumb questions like, what's a Hufflepuff? What's a Hippogriff? Why is nobody concerned these kids are drinking beers? You know, it was like, so dumb. So a few months later, I said, okay, let me give it a shot. And I watched the movie. And so I liked it. And a couple months later, January, it started 2017. I got the first book and I was like hooked, like a chapter in, and it was so small. I was trying to drag it out. And like, just from there, just like fell in love. But you know, yeah, it's like 2017, like 20 years after everybody else has been obsessing over it. So it was just like a new obsession. I would run around work and talk about it. And everybody was like, sit down, leave us alone. I don't know what you're talking about. But one of my friends at work, she was gifted a Harry Potter wand, and she wasn't even into Harry Potter. So I had stepped away from my desk one day, and she left it on my chair, and I ran over so excited. I was like, oh, the wand chooses the wizard, and laughing. And she was like, you are so goofy. But
right.
So from that point on, I would read a book, then watch the movie all the way through. And then all the way till, I think it took me about a year, because I was doing my master's as well. So I finished April 2018. And then that's after that, I found the Swish and Flick podcast in May and just continued the obsession.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I when you get into something new or whatever,
yeah,
cause I did, I mean, I've been a fan of Star Wars for years and I loved it or whatever, but then you go away from stuff or you come back to it. So
yeah,
I guess even in a similar vein there, like when I got older and you get that big commute, you're like, okay, audiobooks, podcasts, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
And I started listening to Star Wars podcasts back in the day, and you just get a whole nother experience. Like you said, if you're at work and you can't really chat with folks about that topic because they're like, that, what do you, you know, I don't know, people. That's why I said earlier, like, embrace your nerddom. And people are more now and now these days, but it's like, I don't know. I feel like at work, I couldn't really talk to anybody about the stuff mm-hmm. I loved. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to turn to podcasting. I'm just going to talk to a mic, a computer screen, and we'll just kind of go from there.
Yeah, there was a few people at work who were, you know, obsessed, but they'd been already into it for 20 years, and I was just like probably too excited. So it was just felt like, and then so as I watched the movies and read the books, I would text my sister like just goofy questions, and then she would post them on Facebook, you know, things Angelina says, and just, you know, like, what's the house philosophies? What's, you know, just everything. Yeah. It was funny to save all those. So for the whole year, it was just like, it was just a fun thing just to, you know, and now she's like, you're a bigger nerd than me about it.
Which is awesome. That's the thing. You get into it. I had a, sorry, we're like going down Story City here, but
sure.
I had a friend, and I'll throw this out as a recommendation. Her name is Laura Kelly, and the name of the podcast is Force Toast. They're like Force Toast podcast. She, I think, started watching Star Wars, like when Rebels came out, Star Wars Rebels, and it was so, you know, not that long ago, and got into the fan. She now is like a Star Wars trivia champion and is on a lot of different like crazy big YouTube channels where hundreds of thousands of people are watching her. And I met, you know, I luckily got to like bring her on my small Rebel Watch podcast when she first started out, and she's just taken off. You get so passionate about it. You're like, I want to know everything about this topic.
I love that, you know, those stories, they inspire. It doesn't matter what age you are. I think it's great if people say, like, I want to talk, I want to know more about it, I want to talk about it. And you started your Bookstagram account, you want to talk about books, you want to review them. And I think, yes, go ahead. And you know, like, we live in an age where we can do those things and we can connect to people no matter where they live. We can connect through the internet and find, you know, people who are like-minded, like, just like your friend. And just like you, share your passion with others. I love that. Since we're talking about your Bookstagram account, Angelina, what's your house?
Slytherin.
Oh, boy.
I love it.
Oh, boy. You know, this is actually great, Angelina, because I was just talking in the last episode about like our friend who's a lawyer and who is a Slytherin. And it's like, I want more Slytherin friends.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but I feel like having a Slytherin friend is a good thing. Like, they got your back, sort of.
Yeah.
They're willing to go out there, and if they need to, like, you can count on them to, just like those Gryffindors would get out there and you know, be brave and stand up to whatever. The Slytherins are not afraid to back down and tell you what's up. I think it's cool.
When I watched the movie, the first movie, I just was a self-declared Slytherin, but then I went on Pottermore and became an official Slytherin.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. Yeah, I think I was also probably a self-declared Hufflepuff way back in the day watching it and stuff. And I was like, yeah, I'm just really, you know, and then when you go to take it the first time, it is so cool because you're like, I better get it. And when you really do get it and you're like, okay, I didn't actually have to go back and retake anything, nothing like that. I legitimately am in that house. It felt so good.
Since you're a Hufflepuff and a Slytherin, I'm excited to talk to you guys about those two houses because they're the most like underrated or let's say misrepresented houses in the series, I think. Mm-hmm. So I clarify some of that in the extendable year edition if you get a chance.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to that.
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be fun because they are, you know, it's like we'll talk about it later, but I mean, we don't get enough love. And I just want, actually, I have to say Hufflepuff has been getting quite a bit of love from Fantastic Beasts series and stuff like that. We'll talk about that later, but I am very happy they did that. And maybe there's a future for a Slytherin, you know, main character down the line.
I hope so.
Okay, Angelina, I have some other questions for you before we start with the chapter.
Sure.
Do you have a favorite book or movie?
So I always say the first book is my favorite just because that's what got me into Harry Potter and started my love of this series. But I think I do like Prisoner Azkaban as being probably my favorite movie.
Yes, good choice.
Lottie loves that one.
Because you think it is almost over, but you're only halfway through because now we're going back in time and we have this whole mission with Buckbeak and everything. Yep. I agree. And it's beautiful because you have pumpkin patches and fall vibes. And
Yeah, let's be honest, though. It's Professor Lupin. Okay. Yeah, don't tell anybody. It's just all about Lupin.
Yeah.
No, that one's a good. I actually like that one quite a bit because for me, I always say Goblet of Fire, but it's something about like going from prisoner into goblet that I'm like, I just love that whole those two back to back. You really get a lot of momentum going into order and you're like, geez, this is... Mm-hmm. It really picks up.
Okay. Do you also have a favorite character of the series?
I do, and it's a bit controversial.
Oh.
Snape?
I can understand totally why people love him so much.
Well, I think, though, as Angelina said, there are some people who get kind of...
Really do not like him.
Right. Touchy about his treatment, the behavior, they get real into the specifics, which is the crazy thing. I bring it up with like Vernon and Petunia all the time. It's like, all right, yes, terrible, abusive stuff, you know, is going down. But at the same time, they're written exaggerated in that way. And so like with Snape, you kind of have to, you know, give him a few of those moments where it's like, he seems like a bad guy. Right. So that way you're really selling us on this idea that he's not good.
Yeah. I mean, so I always like characters who they're mean or seem mean, but underneath they're secretly nice. You know, he comes off as mean, but he loved Lily so much. He's protecting Harry and goes as a double agent and risks his life basically to be with the Death Eaters, but also working with Dumbledore. And he doesn't care that people think he is evil. And he just, you know, when he could just tell the truth and say he's helping out and he's innocent, but he just doesn't do that and just lets people think what they want about him, but he still helps them. I think that's why. And then you can see, you know, some scenes when he gets protective of the kids and he's trying to help Draco and he thinks he's getting in too far when we get later on. And so,
Yeah, he's always been super interesting. And I think that was the whole, I mean, the threat when you were first reading the series, because I actually watched, I think, the first couple movies before I read the books or whatever originally. And I do remember, though, at before the last movie came out, or the last two, I was reading through at the same time that they were coming out. And I was ready for that final release. And it was like, yeah, everyone was wondering, is he good? What's going on? Like, what's going to happen with Snape? So that was a great sort of line, I think, to have or a plot device throughout the series.
And I was so thankful I did wait so long because I didn't have to wait years between books. So for some reason, I never like had any spoilers. So I read like I had no idea what happened with anything. So I was surprised and no one told thing and I didn't find anything out. So that's I was one good thing about waiting a while to read it.
Yeah, I think my sister, like right now, even if she were to, well, she's watched the movies, but like even before she had seen all the movies or whatever, she would have been someone who is not like, I don't know, she's not really on social media. She could get through life without having all those spoilers and she could read the books right now and get right through and say, wow, that was awesome. Which I also love, what, you know, like when you have little kids or I often see this with Star Wars in episode 5 with the whole Vader Luke situation, you know, I'm your father stuff, getting people to have that authentic reaction. They've never seen it like it. There's no reason for them. It's not spoiled for them when you can find that scenario. I think it's just really, really cool to see it happen.
And I mean, Snape has some major flaws just like every other kid.
Oh, yeah.
But he, like his sacrifice is huge. It's like you said, he sacrificed his whole life to this cause and to his protection of Lily's son, which is part of Lily lives in Harry and all that stuff.
Yeah. I think it was the other day we were watching just a YouTube video. I think we mentioned this last episode, but it was the what if Harry Potter was sorted into Slytherin and had Snape as his head of house or whatever. Like that would have been wild to think about.
Yeah. It was like, what if he didn't, in the movie, you know, he runs into him in the hallway, but I was like, what if he never ran into Draco in the hallway? Would he know that Slytherin was not the house and just go with whatever the hat wanted to sort him in?
That's a very good question that I asked myself too. What if he never, because his decision is based on what he heard from other people's point.
He's telling his own son later, like about Slytherin, and that it's okay if you're able to, you know, if that happens. So,
all right, my last question, you can answer with the same person, but it doesn't necessarily have to be the same person. The character you identify most with.
That's a tough one. So, you know, I was really thinking, it's like, I don't know if I identify with one particular. I just feel like there's little bits of everybody. I love books and going to the library like Hermione and, you know, really focused at school.
Yeah.
You know, love eating like Ron, snacking, you know, in the you know, just so I think there's a little bit of everybody I identify with.
Well, and that's sort of the thing when you have a cast of characters where you can like little tidbits of them jump out and you can kind of connect with, it makes them all. That's why like going along through this story, you like bits of Fred and George. There's tons of Weasleys to like. Other students to like, Luna shows up and some people are like, oh my gosh, that's me. You know, like they're like that. Yeah. I connect with that girl.
That's me at work when talking about Harry Potter.
Yeah. And so as you go along, when the stakes are high and those people are at risk, it's like, wow, they all kind of matter more because you as the author wrote stuff in there that everybody can kind of see a little bit of themselves in, which I think is genius.
Everyone's multifaceted and has different, you know, in different areas we act differently. And it's totally fine to say, okay, with this person, it's never the goal to say, okay, I'm 100% like Luna, but more like, okay, where do I see most overlapping similarities or whatever? So and you're just your own, you know, your own person.
Right. And it's like, I feel like there are times where there's different aspects or I guess even hats that you wear in life when you're at work or when you're at home or when you're the roles that you're in, because there's sometimes where I'm like, God, I wish I could be more like, you want to be like Professor McGonagall or like Dumbledore or Professor Lupin when you're, you know, teaching those kids at school and stuff. I don't know. There's just really cool bits about all of them.
Yes, exactly. Whatever situation you're in.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Like, I feel like we got to know you a little better now. But are you ready, guys?
Oh, I'm ready.
We're super excited because we have some trivia lined up for the stars as they walk the carpet.
So, the first question, I think, is pretty easy. I think.
Oh, now these about the chapter?
Not necessarily. Well, some are.
Oh, boy. All right. Angelina's going to have to help me with these.
We'll see.
Okay, guys. Name the four house ghosts.
Oh.
Okay. Bloody Baron.
Yep. Yep. Fat Friar. What's her name?
Rowena Ravenclaw.
Ravenclaw. Yeah. What is her name?
Rowena.
Almost. Yeah. Rowena Ravenclaw. She's the founder.
Oh, that's.
Yeah.
The Gray Lady. No.
That works. Yeah. That counts. They call her that, right?
Yeah. Do you remember her her name?
Do not remember her name.
But yeah, I let Gray Lady count.
Yeah, it counts, right? Okay. Because it's her daughter, right? Or something?
Yeah. Oh,
Helena.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then nearly Hellas Nick, right?
Oh, yes.
Yep. There we go.
We were close.
All right. Second one. How is Minerva McGonagall's hair color described in the book?
Black.
Yes.
There we go.
Oh.
That's from the chapter, actually.
See,
I'm so proud of you.
I only know because sometimes when like I'm down here editing, doing something, or I hear Lottie, you know, doing notes around the house or whatever, I heard her say something, what? Black? Like, you know, as if like her hair is black. Like when you make, yes, I heard you say that. And so I'm glad Angelina knew it because I was like, I get, it stands out because you're like, she's going to make that trivia quick. Now I've like cued in. So you better watch what you're saying because now I know when you're going to be making a trivia question. Okay.
I mean, we all have this iconic picture of
Maggie Smith.
Yeah. Her head.
God,
so
I love her.
Hers is more like grayish. I don't know. It's not exactly black.
Yeah, yeah. She's a bit older probably than what maybe McGonagall is in the... Or just look, yeah. But I mean, real quick, just a plug for anybody and everybody. If you haven't seen Downton Abbey and had a chance to watch her in that, she is... I never thought I'd be the guy who would be sitting around watching Downton Abbey, but I ended up being that guy and I loved it. Next, we'll be talking about Bridgerton. Watch out.
Uh-oh.
My God. Yeah. Okay. Okay, good. Okay, okay.
Did the Sorting Hat originally belong to?
Godric Gryffindor.
She's my expert.
Angelina, you're going to have this. We're going to need John Moore. I mean, this is like, I now I'm starting to understand when she said earlier she went and, you know, she was figuring out everything there was to know about the series. I didn't know that.
So hard sometimes, to, you know, to come up with questions. So last time we had our friends on and they love Harry Potter. They wouldn't necessarily sometimes, you know, remember little details like that. And I thought, I'm sure with Angelina, I can get the harder trivia questions out. And
that's
you
fair.
Are not... Haven't heard about them. You were not prepared.
That was on the spot. That was good. I've thought about in the future. I don't know if there's any other Harry Potter podcast that does this. If there is, let me know because I want to go listen to it. That does like trivia competitions in Harry Potter or whatever. Have you ever gone to the bar and done like just bar trivia where they do?
I've always wanted to, but they're always like never around me. Or I think like one time there was near me, but I was at work and I couldn't do it. But
yeah,
just those... you know, one day maybe.
Yeah, those seem fun, and I just feel like, I don't know, if there's a way to kind of create a little competition, that'd be fun. Because I've been, so far, I have not, it's been, I don't know, you write those questions, and I'm just sort of like, I think I would get better, I would know more if I was helping write the questions, and I mean, I'm down to have the pressure on me at the same time, I'm pitting out, sweating over here, thank God Angelina knew what was going on.
That's what 3 weeks of prepping will do.
Yeah. All right. Are we diving in?
Yeah, but right before we dive into the chapter, I just want to mention real quick how amazing it is that Angelina remembered it is Neville's birthday.
Oh!
If you have a chance, definitely go check out her Instagram.
Yes, yes.
What's your Instagram?
Slytherin Reading Room.
Slytherin Reading Room. She made a little birthday cake for Neville. And
we'll put a link in the description because I saw that and I was like, Lottie showed it to me and I was like, huh? Whose birthday is it? You know, And that was so funny. I was like, oh God, shout out to Neville. We should probably, I wonder if there's a Harry Potter birth. Is there like a birthday calendar out there or something? I'm sure somebody's got them.
I'm sure there is.
Cause we need to start celebrating them on the show. Cause to almost miss that is, that's well, bad on our part.
Tomorrow also is a special day.
Yeah. I'm like, what is today? Yeah. It's like, okay, today's the 30th. Yeah. 31st. Yeah. So Neville's is the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
And then Harry's is the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Holy smoke. How is it that, you know what? Yeah. We need to do a whole special on Neville, honestly, cause he deserves more.
Yes, he was like, he's like my second favorite.
Oh, well, it's a little sidebar here. I always hope that when there's talks, you know, they might come up with like a TV show or they might do something for, you know, more for Harry Potter. I like hardcore want like a Professor Longbottom something, you know, just a mini series with him. Bring back the original actor. He's down to do it. I mean, it would be fantastic. Shout out to Neville.
Happy birthday.
Yep. Okay, so let's dive into the summary. I read it last time. This is where we told Angelina that there might be some edits, and if you hear us reread a few lines, this is like that behind the scenes moment where people see behind the curtain and they're sort of like, wow,
I love it.
It's like Ez can't read at all. Sometimes I oh my God, in the Lord of the Rings podcast we don't really edit that one, and I just bulldoze right on through all those tough words. I'm like, let's just go with it. It's what I do for Shakespeare back in school too, so it's like it's whatever. So you got it, sweetie? You good?
Or I guess I'm going to read it. Since none of the parents or older siblings seem to have told any of the poor little first years how they were going to be sorted into their houses, they are left on their own in a tiny broom chamber, all anxious and taking wild guesses about what kind of ceremony awaits them. As if that was not enough, they are also visited by a group of ghosts floating in and out of the chamber. The Fat Friar hopes to see them all in Hufflepuff, because we know Helga would take them all. Finally, the stern-looking teacher comes back and leads the firsties into the stunning Great Hall with a magical open ceiling, four big house tables, and a teacher's table. It turns out that all they have to do to get sorted is to try on a ruddy old hat. However, this hat reveals some powerful magic. Not only does he show his qualities as a singer-songwriter, but he can also look into the students' minds and discover each child's most dominant personality trait and core values. Once Harry's name gets called, the entire room starts muttering and whispering. Is it the Harry Potter? What house will he be in? The hat has an extremely difficult time deciding. Is he a Slytherin or a Gryffindor? Harry has heard only bad things about Slytherin house so far, and simply refuses to mingle with people like Malfoy, Crabbe, and Goyle. The sorting hat grants him his wish, and the Gryffindor table throws a little party out of pride to have Potter on their team. After the last couple of students are sorted, the real festivities begin. A whole banquet just appears out of thin air, thanks to some hard-working house elves downstairs, and lively chattering arises. With happy hearts and full bellies, the Gryffindor first years are led by Prefect Percy into their cozy common room and dormitories. Too tired to even talk, the boys fall asleep immediately, and Harry drifts into a strange and dark dream involving Professor Quirrell's turban. Thankfully, he doesn't remember one bit of it when he wakes up next morning on his first day of school.
A scary dream. It's crazy because, you know, Lottie spends all the time, like, you know, writing those out or whatever, just to give us that good recap. So, because the nice thing about doing these, and we have to kind of tell ourselves too, like, sometimes we want to go back and kind of summarize and stuff. And I'm like, so we get that summary out of the way, and then we just do our big sort of takeaways and what do we think, things that stood out, things we connect to, and all that good stuff. The cool thing about all the different rereads, and the thing that I've always found interesting listening to podcasts, is that, like, Angelina will have a different connection to the text than, like, we do. And I always tell my students the same thing. I'm like, guys, you all have different life experiences, come from different backgrounds or whatever. So your connections are unique, and a story, it can connect to a story that we've never heard of. And so tell that story and kind of whatever. So I just think that's the best part about these things. So I believe Angelina had some thoughts on we're kind of doing thirds, right? We're going to divide it up into thirds. I'm interested to hear what Angelina thinks about the first third of this chapter, though.
Yeah. So as Ezra said, I asked to do this chapter. And the reason that I love this chapter so much is, you know, this is where it all starts. This is where we learn about Hogwarts, the houses. This is where our love of everything of the wizarding world comes into play. You know, in the movie, my favorite scene is when they pan from the boats up to the castle. You know, it's like beautiful. And so I'm on my second reread, so I haven't read this book in a while, and it's always funny because you see the movies so much, but when you go back to actually read, I forgot they were just like standing on the steps in front of the door.
Mm-hmm.
Movie, they just show them walking up the stairs. So it's just funny, you know, they're at the door. Professor McGonagall just opens the door and they come on in and they lead them into this entryway. And so I think, you know, you get that feeling of first day of school, like, you know, high school, you're with these group of kids that you don't know, someplace new. And, you know, it's just like, it just makes you think of that feeling like nervous. What's it going to be like? Who are my friends going to be? Is anybody going to sit at the lunch table with me? Am I going to like teachers?
Angelina, can I just real quick, not to interrupt, I want to jump in when I hear good point. Because I literally, school year is about to start, and we're talking this, we're doing this, it was an interesting timing for us. And that's why when we originally were looking at the, as we did the, you know, week to week read, we'd be real close to the start of the school year here. I have kids who come in and freshmen are going to show up at high school, mm-hmm. and they're literally going to be scared to death yep. of the older students. And it's really well captured here, honestly. Yeah. You know, like they all kind of feel like, what are we supposed to do? Is there going to be a test? Which literally every single one of our students come into high school thinking you're going to get tested day one. You know, in our system anyways, we've kind of said 2 to 3 days. We're going to give you like just welcome, come on in, etc. And then we're testing you. You know what I mean? It's just the culture we have right now in our school system. But yeah, they're freaking out about that. But you're right. They're standing outside with this kind of like anxiety.
Yes. They get shoved into a room while they're waiting. The ghosts all startle them and they're just like taking this all in and
right.
get led down into the grand hall.
Yeah. Yeah.
All freaking out about a test that they have no idea what's going to happen. You know, yeah. Ron's brothers have told them some kind of painful test. Yes. You know, of course, just to torture them and think it's funny, but they all line up and, you know, there's a hat sitting on a stool.
It's crazy. You know what I mean? Like that's what's so great about this series is that like there's such odd stuff. Yeah, I think the creativity of like it's a hat and you're going to put it on and it's going to sort you, that in itself is super creative at the time. And it was like, OK, this is a really cool thing. The other bit about the goats. Oh, there are no hopefully there are no goats running around here in the show. There are over in Hogsmeade, though. OK, yeah. So like the ghost. Though you imagine if you're like a muggle, well, I'm sorry, if you are in a muggle born home, right? If you're from a muggle home, you would be freaking out. I feel like that's not something you might have seen at Diagon Alley, and that's a new thing. So the other kids, maybe like Ron, they're more used to it. They've heard about it. They believe in ghosts. They get it. But if you're Harry or Hermione, I mean, that would be now Hermione's read about them, so maybe more like, oh, look, cool. But I would be. I'm out. I would be like,
exactly out the door.
I'm out the door. I mean, somebody give me, I'd have my wand out. I don't know what I could do with it, but I would be trying something. So that part always, cause it goes by. So like the kids do freak out a little bit and they're like astonished by it. But then really when you think about it in real, if you really went to a school like this and you had no idea, it would freak you the heck out. And you'd be, I mean, all of it really would be kind of scary. But at that point, and they're friendly ghosts though.
I think after days you would learn to expect anything really.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
So now then McGonagall also seeing her, she's awesome. She's very stern and you're at school.
Not nurturing. She's like, let's go get in line.
Right. Right. Which is good. I struggle with this as a teacher sometimes. I wish this is where I said earlier, I wish I were more like McGonagall. I'm more like Lupin actually, which then when I have to turn into McGonagall, you know, get real. They're like, well, what's going on? What happened to
Mr. Kirk's?
He's freaking out. He's freaking out. What's going on? It's like, look, you guys are all great. But right now I have literally learning target after learning target to get to. And I need you rascals to sit down and pay attention. So I do love channeling a McGonagall every once in a while when you need to, because she's intimidating.
Yes,
for sure.
But those always turn out to be my favorite teachers, though, once you get through it.
Oh, yeah. Truly, it is. And that's the thing is that, like, as I've gotten even older as a teacher, I feel myself being more and more drawn to, it's crazy to say this, but, like, really, like a McGonagall, straight up. She's, that's the way to go. And it's really neat throughout the series. I know we're kind of talking a little bit about, you know, I'm going to stretch this out here a little bit and think further. But she is... She has those tender moments where you can tell she actually cares about the kids by saying your curriculum is important. Your learning is important. Go to classes, do your things. But she's across the board, stern and fair with everybody as much as she can be. I mean, she is sending Harry a broom. Okay. She is sending Harry a broom to like build a Quidditch team. That's okay. Yeah. I mean, we did this in total. I don't know if there's any other teachers out there listening or anybody who's into education. We were at school one time, and the way that McGonagall connects to Harry is really interesting. We came into the building, and the principal had laid out pictures of all the students, all the kids in our school. This was like a professional development thing, and said, "Who is a student that you know, and that you have, like, I run the Dungeons and Dragons club. I'm the club master. Okay, so I do that at school every Thursday. So a lot of those kids, I could say, hey, I know those kids, and I could take a batch of them under my wing. And then other teachers were doing the same thing. And when it was done, a really cool experiment was to look and see who was left on the table, who didn't have that teacher, that teacher that didn't feel like they had connected. Like there were some kids that were sitting there, and were, you know, the student to teacher ratio is, it's one of those things where there's far more students than there are teachers. Yeah. That's why you need coaches and parents and community members and everything, everybody, the school nurse, the custodian, everybody, you need everybody in there doing their thing. Cause then we brought them in. We said, okay, who can take a picture and make a connection with a kid? Mm-hmm. And so I know we're kind of talking about like teaching and education. It's a little bit, whatever, but my connection to this is that Harry needed some of those people like Hagrid and, McGonagall. And I love later the is it the twins that they get close with Trelawney a little bit? Was it who was it that got close with the
You mean the Patil twins?
Yeah.
I was thinking of a Fred and George, and I was like
oh no, they don't. Yeah, no, they definitely don't. But I mean, the point is though, everybody has their that they make different connections to it and things. So it was just a cool sort of experiment. So I'm kind of trying to justify McGonagall and giving him that broom. That's what I'm trying to do. Okay. Good God. No, I'm just anyway, but no. So we get up through the Great Hall is awesome.
Yeah, like anytime I see a picture of it, it's like, oh, I wish I could spend my holidays there.
Oh.
So, you know, they're like walking down the middle aisle, all these tables, people staring at you, and you're just like, what am I doing? She calls them up alphabetically.
Yeah.
Stick old hat on their head, you know, and which would be torturous enough because, you know, maybe not some people don't even know what houses are, what's a good one, you know, they don't know what they want. So they just, you know, go with it. But, so the Sorting Hat was enchanted by all four founders, whatever their personalities and their ambitions or whatever they wanted for their students, they kind of enchanted the hat. So the students put the hat on and that's how they're chosen. So, you know, you're just sitting there and it was, once you get to your house, you get to run to your table finally. And you're just like, whew, let me do that.
Right. Yeah, let me get out of the spotlight for a second, right?
We went to that table and get some food. So, but then we also have the hat stalls. Most people, it took like a second or two to choose their houses. But anybody over 5 minutes, the hat was struggling.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure if he should be a Slytherin or a Gryffindor. Neville, I think, thought he should be a Hufflepuff, but the hat put him in Gryffindor.
That was pretty interesting that Neville had a conversation with the hat, too.
Those hat stalls are really interesting to me. And I think that's really cool. Speaking of the hat, yeah, it doesn't have its song, right? It began to sing.
Gets on, it puts on a song. At first, it was pretty positive, but then as the years went on, it would like warn of dangers and
I just think it's funny because you know, you're right. It starts off really, really cool and chipper and everything. And then I even love in the film, they start talking about Harry. They're always coming in a little bit late, right? And the update is, what'd the Sorting Hat say? What'd it have to say or whatever? And it's all gloom and doom right now.
So the Sorting Hat belonged to Godric Gryffindor, as we said. But when the four founders wondered how they would sort the students after they were gone, they enchanted it with their combined intelligence. The students would be sorted according to each founder's particular preference in student. And as Ezra said before, the hat would start with the song each year. And every year it would be different.
So one of the things, I think the funniest line, by the way, in the songs too, at the very end. So put me on, don't be afraid, and don't get in a flap.
Yeah.
You're in safe hands, though I have none. I just feel like the hat is also kind of like a dad trying to make a dad joke or something. It's like really bad, you know, because it's just, did anybody chuckle? I mean, you know, did anybody laugh at that? The kids are probably like, okay, it feels like the teacher too trying to make a joke in class and no one laughs. And there's maybe one kid who actually got it and you're like, all right, his dad tells jokes too. You know, that's
just
cool.
But this is where we learn kind of the house philosophies. You know, you might belong in Gryffindor, where dwell the brave at heart. Their daring nerve chivalry set Gryffindors apart. Might belong in Hufflepuff, where they are just and loyal. Those patient Hufflepuffs are true and unafraid of toil. Wise old Ravenclaw, if you've a ready mind, where those of wit and learning will always find their kind. Or perhaps in Slytherin, you'll make your real friends. Those cunning folks use any means to achieve their ends. So, yeah, this is like when I had asked before, like the house philosophies. I mean, I feel that gives a kind of an idea of what the houses are about.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as you go along throughout the series, you learn a little bit more from the heads of houses. And really when you get later on to even understanding the items that are associated with each house and cool stuff like that, I feel like it adds to it's the house's identity. And then you see the characters in the story and what they put out, right, in terms of who they are and their members and representatives of that house. It's what makes the houses super cool, actually, that they have their own personalities, but yet it's not anything you can really, like the Sorting Hat does it, as Angelina just said right there, really well, and does sort of point out some really, that's the foundation. But from there, it's so much more complex, and there's so many different things that are great about all the houses. So, yeah.
I feel like through the conversation you have with the hat, and that's something no one else hears, right? It's just you and the hat in your head, basically. And it's almost like a deep conversation with yourself, where you ask yourself this question, who do I want to be? What do I value? You know, and it's almost like just because someone external answers or gives you the right nudges, okay, we are going to explore all of this in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm pointing at my head, and no one can see that in the podcast, obviously. But.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I wonder how many students were sorted in houses and were just upset that they were, you know, wanting to be in different houses, or maybe being jealous of other students of being in the house they want, you know, how you deal with that, you know, for the whole 7 years.
Hey, I think that's actually a very interesting thought, because in the series, we don't really get, so Harry gets his wish. He's not a Slytherin. He gets to be in Gryffindor. Neville thinks lesser, if you will, of himself. And, you know, this reputation, false reputation, by the way, the Hufflepuffs are all losers. He thinks he would fit most in there. And then the hat puts him in a house which is, well, some say would be better or cooler.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get this with Neville, where he's like super upset. I mean, he struggles because he always feels like, you know, he doesn't truly belong there for a while. But we don't really have a scenario where anyone's like, you know, put into a house where they really don't feel like they belong there. So does that... Is that just because we don't happen to know anyone in the series, or is that because the hat really chooses well?
Yeah, that's a tough one, right? I mean, because as you got to know more students, you might find that situation where a kid's like, I was a hat stall, possibly, or something, and went the wrong way. I don't know. Yeah. All right, cool. So I'm going to dive into some of these names. Is it okay if I dive into my bit here? Anything else, Angelina?
No, I mean, I think that's it.
Yeah. And as I bring up some of these things, you guys fill in any cool bits that you think are interesting, because again, like the hat, I actually, every time this happens in the film, once the hat comes, you know, we got the song and everything, and then you get a lot of these names like Susan Bones.
Yeah. Okay?
Terry Boot in Ravenclaw. Susan, by the way, Hufflepuff, shout out. There we go. Mandy, this was one, I don't remember this one. She goes to Ravenclaw. Brocklehurst. I'm over here looking these names up going like, wait a second. I mean, like Terry Boot and Susan Bones, you know, we remember or whatever. Lavender Brown, for example, was the first new Gryffindor, which is cool. And then you have Millicent, right? Bulstrode. And then you have Justin Finch Fletchley. Have you seen, Angelina, have you seen the Puffs play by chance? The
I haven't, but I've heard good things about it.
Pour yourself a glass of wine, get you some cheeses, get you some good food, sit back and relax, and let us know when you do. Send us that message. And as you're watching it, feel free to send quotes, whatever you like, send them our way. Anybody who's listening, by the way, if you do that, feel free to send those in and we will put them on the show. Give you a little shout out, because I really, really think you can go buy it on Amazon for a few bucks or whatever and watch it. It's fantastic. And it is. Yeah, I stop right there. And anybody who's watched that play will know why I stopped at the name Justin Finch Fletchley. So he's a Hufflepuff, and it's a play called Puffs, and it's about the Puffs, the Hufflepuffs, and it's just hilarious. So yeah, then as we go along, there's a funny little bit about when you get to Hermione. What did Ron say prior to this? He hoped he was like that Hermione wasn't in.
Okay,
that's right. Hope he's not in the same house as Hermione. Whatever. Well, Ron, guess what? Too bad.
I don't mean the same house.
Right. Yeah. Not. Yeah. Yes. Same house and same house later on. Right. I mean, it's like, jeez, cow. But they'll be super thankful that she's in Gryffindor. So the hat is kind of shouting that. Imagine Harry too standing here. All these names are getting called. They're all going to their houses. People are cheering, clapping. Okay. His dread is Slytherin and Malfoy and those guys. And we know nothing at this time about Voldemort or any of the other connections and why and the wand cores and all that kind of stuff. But he still just kind of wants to be in the right house. And he's heard from Ron too. You know, it's also Ron's influence as well. Mm-hmm. And Hagrid. That's right.
Who says there was no bad wizard who wasn't in Slytherin. Well, at the time he doesn't really know about Peter, but
for sure. And I said too that there was this he had this fear about being sorted into the wrong house, but he also has this fear. A horrible thought had struck him, as horrible thoughts always do when you're very nervous. What if he wasn't chosen at all?
Exactly. That would be my
right. And it says, sorry, we got a squib in here. We made a mistake. And McGonagall jerks it off and says, you got to get out of here. He's still worried about this might be a dream. All of this, like he had that fear when he went to sleep about, was that really real Hagrid showing up and everything? So he is definitely freaking out about that. Let's see. Neville Longbottom, right? The boy who kept losing his toad was called. He fell over on his way to the stool. So you just picture Neville.
That would be me.
Right. I just like it's okay. I have that fear sometimes. I work with a teacher who he teaches in front of the classroom, and he's always walking backwards and he shouldn't be. And he's always like moving around, bumping into the chalkboard. And the kids are like, he's going to tumble one of these days. And he has like, I'm just like, you feel bad. And then the kids who are, if you're called down, you're at an assembly or whatever in the gym, and you've got to run down those bleachers and go out in front of everybody and get your award or whatever at like middle school. How terrifying. What if you trip and stumble? It's just crazy. Sorry.
My first year of student teaching, every time, you know, especially as a PE teacher, where you're even more like, sometimes you got to show students, and especially when we had, like, it was time in Germany, they put a lot of emphasis on gymnastics. And this is not what I, you know, was born to do, really. I had to work really hard to get through university the gymnastics classes.
Yeah. So.
I'm more of a ball person. Like I, you know, love volleyball, basketball, all that stuff. And then you're terrified in front of a group. I'm sure like after years of teaching, it's different. But when it's your first year of teaching, because it's not just, oh, you're part of the group and you're just stepping out for a second to do something in front of everybody. And then you go back and hide, technically hide in the group again.
Yeah. And when you're stumbling all over yourself and you're falling and tripping, I mean, on your shoelaces.
Yeah.
It's hard for those kids to.
And it's so human to be nervous.
I know. Yeah.
So but poor Neville. So glad he gets his arc later on.
Oh, thank God. Yeah. That, as Angelina was saying, like it's like one of our favorite characters. I mean, that's, I think for a lot of people, you root for Neville this whole time. He gets the final points at the end of this to really push him over for the House Cup, which is awesome. But yeah, he gets in Gryffindor. And this is that indication where the hat took a long time to decide with Neville. So as Angelina was talking about hat stalls and stuff, there's more than we think sometimes, right? I guess pretty cool. Malfoy, no problem. Slytherin, right away. Which is cool. You can imagine with that grin. I knew it. You know what I mean? This is great. We also get a good indication of all the different, you know, kids coming in this year that are in Harry's year or whatever. I'm not so sure this is all of them or whatever, but it's enough that we have quite a few names. Moon, Knott, Parkinson, Perks, Sally Ann, so on. The list goes on, right? There's a bunch of them sort of listed off here, which is good, I think, for the author to do that. There's some world building and different things and whatnot. And then we have Potter. Did she say the Harry Potter? The whispers are kind of going around and everything. And so the last thing Harry saw before the hat dropped over his eyes was the hall full of people craning to get a good look at him. Now, that's interesting, right? He shows up. Imagine this is like the chosen one defeats Voldemort. And everyone's, is he going to be in our house? Yeah. You know, like from their perspective, and even the professors are like, where are we going to go here? But they probably had a better indication knowing his parents and where they were stored. I mean, sometimes that can be an indication, not all the time, right? But sometimes you adopt a lot of, you're raised by your parents and their personality and their beliefs and their values and stuff. So I think the professors probably knew a bit more about the likelihood of him being in Gryffindor.
I just imagine Professor McGonagall, not like, she's not the one who would jump up and be like, yeah, I got Potter, you know?
Right.
But she would be the one swelling like, with
Yeah. But I knew it, yeah.
That she got Potter, but she wouldn't show it.
No. But yeah, here we go. So again, there's this difficult, plenty of courage. I see, not a bad mind either. There's talent, goodness, yes. A thirst to prove yourself. Now that's interesting. Where should I put you? And we know ultimately goes to Gryffindor, but it's interesting just to hear the Sorting Hat have a bit of trouble and kind of wonder about young Harry and where he should go. So yeah.
I just want to add here that I think this is a glimpse that we at least get when we hear the Sorting Hat talking a little bit about Slytherin and how he has really good traits to also fit there, that Slytherin is not all bad, but they have really positive attributes that really make them stand out. Mm. Slytherin is one, like, yeah, you can say that's not good because he's very selective, but he doesn't take all of them. You know, he really is that person who only wants to take, quote, the best.
Oh, he said you'd be great. I mean, that's the thing, is that you have really, really great wizards that come out, Snape and Slughorn. I mean, like the list, you could, and there's way more than that, but I mean, so many that will push the limits on magic and potion making and stuff like that. Like they'll take it to places that sometimes in those dark arts a little bit to see what they can't dabble with a little bit. But no, I love it. And I think it's really cool. And there needs to be more representation for those houses and cool characters that we can kind of connect with and stuff. Like, I'm looking forward to the Hogwarts Legacy game because there's a character in every house that you're going to be friends with, sort of. And it's neat, I think. So, but
yeah, I want to ask Angelina, like, you know, you're a proud Slytherin, right? So how do you see this whole, throughout the series, we don't really get any good characters in Slytherin. We don't get to know any of them, really. Like, all of them seem, through Harry's eyes, negative, bad, mean, whatever. How is that? Do you feel like you got to defend your house? Or would you say, yeah, I know there's probably some folks that I wouldn't even want to hang out with because they seem...
Yeah. Yeah, you know, anytime you tell people you're Slytherin, they're like, oh my God, you know, it's like a reaction. But I mean, it's just, you know, you're ambitious, you're determined, you know, so I think those personalities, it's what makes you to be a proud Slytherin. I mean, any group, there's always going to be bad people, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Even in Gryffindor.
Slughorn, you know, he's a Slytherin. He doesn't seem.
He's great.
Too horrible.
I mean, honestly, I think he's a good teacher and he tries to connect with those kids and
he's excited and.
Right. He's rewarding them. I know people get on him for Slug Club or whatever, but I'm kind of like, that's pretty cool. I mean, we're having a little after people who are looking to climb the ladder of success or whatever. He's really trying to make like a network of people who can. Now, then we get behind the curtain a little bit where he's like, he himself secretly sort of like, I want to have my hand in the pot here with some of these. Snape, you know,
the characteristics is what makes you proud to be a Slytherin, not necessarily a fellow Slytherins and some of their actions. And
well, because I mean, yeah, exactly. Because if you looked at Peter Pettigrew and you looked at some of the stuff that goes on with him, I mean, come on,
a Slytherin,
right. We've got Ravenclaws, we've got some Hufflepuffs who, they do things that they shouldn't do or they make mistakes. And you definitely got to look past the different characters because, I mean, it's all coming from Harry's perspective and it's his house versus all the other houses and stuff. So,
and I love how throughout the fandom, I really feel like sometimes you look at posts and people are like, oh yeah, let us know what house you're in. And then I look through the comments and I literally see all four houses shouting out, I'm a proud Hufflepuff. Hey, I'm Slytherin, Ravenclaw, Gryffindor. We see them all, and it's more common nowadays, really, to not just say, "Oh yeah, I want to be in Gryffindor because they're cool." Just like Angelina.
A
pretty good example that there is not just.
You need all those people. That's the thing. You need all the four houses. You need all the different people to get through life. You need that whole community. I mean, it's which is cool. Now, So we get all that just to kind of get through some of this here a little bit with Harry. He actually is the one who cheers the loudest for Ron. So he's, you forget there's like three or four names after him, you know, classmates or whatever. And Ron gets sorted into Gryffindor and Harry's clapping the loudest because that's his buddy on the train.
Yeah.
He knew what Ron wanted and he comes and has a seat next to him. So I feel like that was that's a pretty cool moment just to see him on the other side relieved and,
yeah,
and cheering for somebody is like he's in now, which is. And all the professors, too. Also, there's that whole bit with the professors looking down. Dumbledore sitting in that large chair that's kind of like glowing and stuff, which I as I was reading, I was like, wow, the chair is actually kind of like radiating energy. Well, that should tell you something about Dumbledore, right? I mean, geez. But he goes over the different professors looking at Professor Quirrell and stuff. So, yeah. And then you get the famous words from Dumbledore here in just a little bit. Nitwit, blubber, oddment, tweak. Thank you. He sat down. I feel like at that point, as much as, you know, is he a bit mad? He asked Percy. Mad? He's a genius. What do those words mean? Have people broken it down? Like, is there theory behind the words that he says there at the beginning? What the heck?
I think there's not exactly. I don't know if she wanted to do something later on with it or not.
Yeah.
I think there is like an exact meaning to it. It's really just like.
Yeah.
I think Dumbledore is supposed to be introduced as this little oddball.
Yeah, which is great.
Who's super powerful. Like, that's why you kind of get to hear from other people, oh, he's super powerful. He's this awesome wizard. Everyone wants him as the minister and everything.
Right.
And then he comes off as this, he
weird.
Enjoys, like, what's it, pin bowling? What's it called?
Pin bowling.
This
bowling?
Yeah, he enjoys music. He enjoys bowling.
Sherbert Lemon.
Yeah,
you know, sweet.
A very
odd
character.
Yeah,
but at the same time, that makes him approachable.
Oh yeah, he doesn't seem. That's true. Because if he was like this super, he's already held in high esteem, and if he acted really differently, he would be. Yeah, I guess it does make him more approachable because he's kind of silly.
Yeah, that's maybe just a way to like act silly and maybe calm the students down and
yeah,
everybody who's nervous about being there. So.
Now, I'm not going to be surprised, though, if years later we find out in another, whether it's another book series she writes or if there's another television thing, whatever it might be, if these four words don't come back into play.
It was a secret message the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, watch out, friends. You heard it here first. Okay. But yeah, I mean, that's basically kind of it. A lot more discussion just about the different professors. And then we get to the food. All sorts of awesome food and ghost popping up and running around the table and stuff.
The description of it just makes you so hungry.
Doesn't Harry try, because I didn't actually make this connection. I think we're moving into your bit here, the final third of this, the treacle tart.
I love it. I love that she mentions like this little bits where she mentions treacle tart. I don't know if it's just a random choice and then he likes it. I don't know if Aunt Petunia ever made it. Can you imagine?
Snuck some from Aunt Petunia?
I don't know. Maybe Petunia got it from her mom.
Right.
Which would be a connection to Lily. And that's why he liked it so much. And then it's mentioned again at the end of the chapter where he's like, hey, Ron, have you tried the treacle tart? And then in like six or five books later, in book six, we get this connection to the love potion in Slughorn's class. It smells different to everybody, you know, depending on what they love or like. And to Harry, the food aspect he smells is treacle tart. And I just think it's so that we get the little connections you can make. And that's why the series is so, you can go back and explore it over and over again and find little things. And then they get into, some of them share their family stories.
Yeah, Seamus does a little, doesn't he?
Seamus is so funny. I think they did a great job also in the movie, how he turns around to different people and loves to tell his story about how his dad discovered that his mom was a witch after they got married.
Yeah.
Pretty funny. But what really breaks my heart is when Neville tells his story. He just tells it like this is the most normal thing in the world, but like, how his uncles, his whole family really thought he wasn't magical enough for the longest time. And then he pushed his great uncle, pushed him off the end of Blackpool Pier once, and he nearly drowned.
It's crazy.
Hanging him out of an upstairs window by the ankles. And then someone came in with some food or something, and he forgot and let him go. And then he finally showed some magic because he found stuff on the ground. But I don't know if it's a thing, like, almost like Hagrid, he gives Dudley that pigtail, and we discussed it, like, to him it's not a big deal. You just reverse it through magic or whatever. But to the Muggles, it's huge because it's a permanent change, and they have to get it removed surgically. And I feel like because they're magical, they feel like, oh, yeah, they have a different kind of protection around them where they fall into water, they fall down three stories, and nothing really happens.
Right.
That's serious. So where they don't really, I don't know, they don't have this caution when it comes to, like, injuries and stuff, and they don't...
They have magical fixes.
Could be.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what if Neville actually was a squib and fell down?
Well, if he broke some bones, I mean, they have the magical... fixes, right? They go in there, and possibly his parents could grow some bones back. Maybe they could
upstairs window. He could break some serious bones and immediately
he'll be fine, you know.
I just think it's heartbreaking the way he delivers the story to others. It's like, oh yeah, they just did that to me all the time.
Yeah,
it just sort of breaks my heart a little.
Well, it's from his perspective too, because you could have that, like, maybe you had somebody else standing out there in the cornfield. And maybe there was more to that story, right? Aunts and uncles were protecting him and setting up a situation where, okay, somebody push him out the window. We've got the hover charm ready to go here. But let's see if he bounces. I don't know. Who knows? I mean, you know, but it is, you're right. For the longest time, there was so much pressure on him, and he felt so kind of there's just a lot. And they didn't know. They didn't know if he... It's also interesting that magic like that can be suppressed. We learned that in the Fantastic Beasts series too, where... you can have your magic suppressed, or you could be, if you're punished for it, or you try to hide it, or there's a stress can keep it down or something, whatever it is. That could be a big thing for, and it is a big thing for Neville. So it is sad. It is sad to hear that. It's sad to kind of hear.
One of the things that, like, brings down his confidence in himself, because his family is just like, you know, they don't have any confidence in him either.
Yeah.
His grandma's always putting them down.
Right.
So yeah, we learn a little bit about Neville's history and why he's always this anxious or always has self-doubts and whatever, because we learn that his whole family, like you said, doubted him from day one, and he even had magic blood and stuff. But they're all well-fed. They had a wonderful
life. Oh yeah.
They start, it's awesome how Harry starts to get this warm and sleepy feeling after some good food.
Gosh.
And we think, like, oh, we'll ease into the end of the night and
uh-huh.
go to sleep.
Tuck in.
And he just, like, looks around a little bit. It's really content, I think.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, his eyes wander to the teacher's table.
Quirrell.
And he
Snape.
Sees, and I think it's really well done, how, as a reader... you're really, this entire time, especially as a kid, you're so led to believe it's Snape. Because Snape always shows up where Quirrell is, and always where something happens, there's Snape. And like I said, especially as a kid, you're like, oh yeah, there's definitely something wrong with this character. And there's just little hints that Quirrell is somewhere in the background, or he's talking to him, or, you know, like next to him or something. And we see Harry, he just... sees Professor Quirrell in his absurd turban, talking to a teacher with the greasy black hair and a hooked nose and sallow skin. And it happened very suddenly. The hook-nosed teacher looked past Quirrell's turban straight into Harry's eyes, and a sharp, hot pain shot across the scar on Harry's forehead. And of course we now know it's because Harry's focus really was, like, is on Quirrell and Snape. But we get the impression, because it happens right at the moment he looks into Snape's eyes, and Snape doesn't seem so pleased to see him, or, like, you know, has this mixed feelings when he sees Harry and looks him into the eyes. And I mean, imagine this moment when this is the first time they make eye contact directly, and Harry, Snape looks and everyone says it, he has Lily's eyes.
Yeah.
What that must have been for Severus.
Right. Yeah, because as I said, he looks into his eyes, so very specific about that, not just looks at him or whatever, but looks into his eyes. And so that thought was there a long time in the making, which is cool to see.
A great moment where this is much deeper than we now know.
Yeah.
First,
not what you think.
Yes. No. Yeah. First, it's, you know, in this book, because of Voldemort being there in Quirrell's head.
Mm-hmm.
Already. Harry's first experience with the scar hurting. Really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We keep hearing about scars and their importance and all those different things. Can you fix it? Can you not? He's old Scarhead. There he is, right? He'll get called that later. But they want to see the scar, and then we're trying to figure out it's an importance. It marks him as Harry Potter, and it's the evidence that people can see. Yeah, he faced the Dark Lord, and then now it's aching, and it's got this throughout the series. It keeps happening. What's it mean? When his scar? I remember people were like talking about it online for a little bit. Like, okay, what's going on? Is there, you know, theories on it and stuff? So yeah,
and he does a good job of just describing like how painful it is, because you could just imagine like times you've had like the worst headache. It's like that's exactly what it feels like.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I do imagine it's that throbbing from right there on the side, just above your eye. You ever get that pain right behind your eye too, right? Or it splits back across your head. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah. And it's that connection part of the horror, the Horcrux in him, like really recognizing that Voldemort is there nearby, and he makes eye contact with the turban.
I mean, it's cool because in a reread, that's exactly what that's the connect. You know, as you go back the second time through, I love when a book has I'm gonna make a word up. Rereadability. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. So, you go back and you're like, wow, okay, I'm finding different things and little things that are connecting and stuff, and even doors that were never opened. You know, I think authors write down, they give themselves avenues to make something of this bit later on. They might not need it, but that's what a good writer does. Is like, okay, I need a device for later on. So you fill these doorways that we could take somewhere we never did. But they're there. So even seeing those and thinking about future Potter content is kind of fun and neat. So, yeah.
And then Dumbledore makes some announcements here and there. You know, the typical beginning of the year. Don't do magic in between classes on the corridor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Forbidden Forest is obviously forbidden. And then something new for everyone is that the third floor corridor is definitely taboo.
It's out of bounds.
And I think he makes a little mistake here. He shouldn't have said, you know, if you want to, want to die a very painful death.
Right.
I feel like...
Because the Weasleys are investigating that later, right? The twins are like, we're checking that out tonight.
Thanks for going.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dumbledore.
Bringing up the blowing up the toilet thing. Like, oh, wow, we've never thought about that.
Right.
For bringing it up, Mom. If you, like, you make kids curious if you say that kind of stuff. And then... we get some music at the end of the night, and I think it's just sweet how Dumbledore says music is just a type of magic, really.
Yeah.
And how much he loves it, and everyone loves music, honestly. And even though I'm the least musical, like, talented person ever.
I don't know now. We might have to get Lottie up here and get a little solo or going here.
Please.
Just kidding.
It's its own kind of magic. And I think I always make this strong connection in my head canon magic.
Yeah.
Strongly connected to creativity.
Yeah.
And bringing something to life or into the world, into existence that you can imagine, make up in your head, you know?
Yeah.
So I love that.
Art and, you know, art, music, literature, poems, poetry, all that different stuff, right? All that creativity, that spirit. I mean, that's, again... you have a creative just in terms of making the whole series and creating all of this and the magic of that alone. And then inside of that, like you said, all these avenues for music. I mean, Tolkien in Tolkien's work, J.R.R. Tolkien, his whole world was created from a musical aspect. Like, it's all the power of music, which is that. So when I first read this, I was sort of, well, not when I first read it, but in my reread, I've been like, wow, that's kind of cool. You wonder if she didn't read, you know, some Tolkien, or she didn't think about even in Narnia, you know, some of the ancient powers of love and sacrifice and then music. And then as Lottie's saying, what ties all this magic together? What type of spirit is that or whatever? It's just interesting to think about when you're writing something or you're working on a new world and creating it. It's a lot to do. And we never feel like it's not, I don't know. I kind of feel like there's times where you're reading this and you're like, it could be real. This could be kind of real. So
yeah.
I just think that's fun for kids, especially to read and go, dang, be a wizard, could be a witch. Now, I might scare my mom to death when that was her biggest fear when we were reading this was, I don't want my son going around thinking he's a wizard. Well, years later, I'm a space wizard, Mom, and she's cool with it.
Can I ask you a question, Angelina?
Yes.
You have kids, right?
I don't, but I have two nephews who I treat like my kid, so.
Oh, okay. So that's super sweet. Yeah, it's almost like, you know, Ezra's a nephew and a niece, and they're super close. So,
yeah,
totally get that. So, do they like Harry Potter? Do you ever talk to them about Harry Potter? Is that a thing?
Yeah. So I think I roped in the younger one into my love and obsession of Harry Potter. You know, I've gotten him a robe. His birthday is September 1st, so every year I'm like, what's today? He's like, my birthday? I'm like, yes, but also the start of term. And so, you know, I've taken him to Universal Studios, and when he comes over, he's always playing with my wands and stuff. So I think I've roped him into it. The older one, awesome. Not.
That is so cool. We actually talked about it too, like either with our niece and nephew, or even with our own kids later on. When they turn 11, we're going to have a whole themed birthday party, give them a letter, and we're fly down to Florida.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and he actually is going to turn 11 on September 1st, so that's pretty.
Oh, my.
So something special for him.
Wow.
Super cool. Yeah, please let us know. Yeah. Keep us updated.
I will.
That's cool.
But yeah, he'll come over and like I'll be somewhere else and he'll sneak off into the other room. And I mean, I don't care if he like plays with them, but I'll like peek around. He's like jumping around the house with the wand, like
doing stuff. That is cute.
Yeah. So yeah, one Halloween I dressed him up as Harry Potter and got him the glasses and put the little scar on his head, and I put my Slytherin robe on, and I'll send you a picture.
Oh, that's so cool.
That is cool. Yeah.
I love when, you know, kids can, they get this awesome story and they can imagine themselves being the little hero of the story.
Yeah.
Doing some magic and stuff.
Yeah.
It's a really good story to learn through that, you know, get different characters.
Yeah.
Different
oh, yeah.
And different.
And when he was, younger, we had some big book and we would just like pretend to do spells and he would just like say some random stuff and we'd like fall asleep or pretend we're doing something. He pointed the wand at us. So, yeah.
He
loved it.
That is pretty awesome. Now, with Rachel, my niece, we would do that. We'd have funny little voices, and you know, we start with like abracadabra, and then from there it just turned into I have recordings somewhere of her speaking spells I've never heard of, and I'm like, that actually might be a different language, and actually,
what'd you say?
So that's cool. I love kids just getting immersed in the world. It's fantastic to watch them imagine with a wand, you know, or whatever it is. It's just fun to watch them kind of play and that kind of stuff. So, yeah.
Do you guys have any wands?
Oh, got a. I have a wand. You have a wand as well, right?
I have Ginny Weasley's wand.
Right.
And that's a fun story because we did the whole at Universal. You can have. There's a special offer where if you buy a gift card for $300 or something. And yes, we spend a little bit of money.
We bought those robes.
So we're like, oh,
yeah.
We're going to buy the robes for each of us anyway. So we're going to put it on the gift card. And then with the gift card, you get a free wand. And they're all like worth $50, $60 each anyway. So we thought, okay, if we buy the robes, we'll get a free wand. The only thing is you can only choose the ones that they have. By the entrance, there's another shop. And that's where you can go show your gift card. They have whatever is left from the day you can choose from. So they had a couple of Death Eater wands left.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, I'm out on that. And I don't remember what the other one was. I was kind of hoping they had Fleur Delacour's wand there. That would have been cool.
Right.
But I was also very happy that they had Ginny's wand left. So I chose Ginny's wand.
Yeah, and I just did mine like the birthday thing. You know, they ask you your birth date and a couple different questions. They've got like a little sheet in Ollivander's where they'll say, oh, this is probably a good wand for you. I didn't go get my actual, I don't know if you can do that or custom make or what the deal is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many different varieties that,
Yeah, so they're kind of, I mean, I got that one. I was gifted the Harry Potter one. And then after that, I bought the Snape one because it was interactive and we're going to Universal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's it. And then last year, the New York store and the Harry Potter store in New York, like, they came out with a Hogwarts wand, so I had to buy that.
Uh-huh.
And then I just got a special edition Cauldrons wand. So,
that's awesome.
But I'm like, it could get addicting, so I'm like, no, that's...
Yeah. Yeah. I see so many people who have like who collect
the full set
and have them displayed really nicely in their rooms and stuff. Oh, it looks so
awesome. It looks awesome. And that store, I want to go. At some point, I've been wanting to go actually to the New York store. And
me too. Yeah.
We're already chatting a little bit here away, but to end the chapter, we're all sleepy. We can. It's almost like we're dragging ourselves to the dormitories, and we're getting led by Percy, who's like, you know, so happy he's in his element. He's the prefect who leads the first years to their room.
Bossy.
Yeah. And then we go up, like, it's almost like endless staircases. And
and they're moving.
Yeah. Imagine you're super tired and you just have to go, either you're a Ravenclaw or you're Gryffindor. You just have to go up and up and up and up. And by the end, like, once they get there, they're so tired, they barely can even talk. So they all fall into their very cozy looking beds. And then Harry drifts into a dream that he doesn't remember the next morning, but it's pretty significant. So he was wearing Professor Quirrell's turban, he himself.
Yeah.
Which kept talking to him, telling him he must transfer to Slytherin at once because it was his destiny. Harry told the turban he didn't want to be in Slytherin. It got heavier and heavier. He tried to pull it off, but it tightened painfully. And there was Malfoy, laughing at him as he struggled with it. Turned into the hook-nosed teacher, Snape, whose laugh became high and cold. There was a burst of green light and Harry woke, sweating and shaking. This is so full of, like,
foreshadowing.
Yeah, foreshadowing.
There's some theories going around, and I know, like, Swish and Flake is one of them who came up with it, that Harry is a seer. We have Harry wearing the turban, which represents Voldemort. He is basically in him, too. And then who tells him, you know, this is his possibly, like, Slytherin side also talking to him. And then he tells him, no, I don't want to be in Slytherin. And this is what Dumbledore always tells him, like, you chose
it. Your
own destiny. Mm-hmm. And this is a theme that comes back later. He also makes clear to Harry, Tom Riddle chose you. It's because he chose you is why you are his worst enemy. It's why the prophecy came true and everything. It's the choice, right? And then the green light obviously stands for the killing curse. So there's a lot in here. So what do you think? I want to know, do you think there is some seer qualities in Harry?
Yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Angelina?
I think so. I mean, with his dreams, I mean, this dream's pretty telling of, like, what's to come. Yeah. So, yeah, I think so.
Yeah, because it does, it's sort of, I mean, you could go either way. That's why it's so well written there, is that you could say that it's warnings, or it's, as Angelina said, things to come. And we know that it is, like, in as you read along, you're like, wow, okay, there's a lot going on there. Or is it something, you know, the mind is putting, it's real specific, though. That's the thing is about it. It's not like it's a bunch of abstract, weird things. It's very specific, and it's very much important to the plot. So you think it kind of does indicate that there might be some ability to see into the future or something a little bit, or some other power that's in his subconscious that is helping him through.
So he always wants to argue that seeing is really a quality that only certain people have, because why would you even make it a subject at Hogwarts and try to teach it if only certain people have the ability to do it, you know? Like, I want to disagree with that. I want to challenge that a little bit and say, like, yeah, everyone has, like, because you have magical blood, and just like the magical powers within you can really, like, there's a different range or different ways to express that. There's also different ways of that side of, you know, like, foreseeing that.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be
a little bit, some more than others, yes, but there is that talent in everybody who is.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. So, and because Harry is so, there's so many things, new things that really overstimulate Harry. And his, like, that's what we do in dreams, right? We kind of, our brain processes it.
Mm-hmm.
His brain is also stimulated with all these things in his history. I know it's going a little bit too far here maybe, but it's definitely something. I mean, the brain itself is a big mystery, so.
Yeah. Had all those brains at the Department of Mysteries, didn't they?
Good.
Yeah. They're all just studying the brain.
this is an awesome connection.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're like, they teach the subject there, so it's like there's a possibility that on some level everyone can access a bit of it. And, you know, I mean, it's just something that you can tap in. Some are better, so some are worse. I mean, you talk about legitimacy, yeah, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And then the ability to use that. Could you do it? Can you learn it? They're trying to teach Harry how to defend against it, all that stuff. Or is it something more, is that more like a gift that's passed down depending on bloodlines or whatever? Or is it more, you know, who knows? It's the mystery of magic and stuff like that. But I think you're right that there's something to them teaching it. And Trelawney's there. They have a course on it. So
yeah. Just like in any class, you know, you go and some people, like you said, are better at it than others. And it's just, you know, maybe just weeds out the few that are going to be good at it. And just, you know, like some people might take to it more than others. But we all have a little bit of that in us, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Just like some people, everyone has to take math. Some people get it a little quicker and some just need more explanation and break it down and make it more accessible to them because mm-hmm. we have different parts of our brains that are stronger than others.
Sure.
So, but it's still accessible for most to understand the concept of most, you know, basic mathematical
equations. I don't know.
Trans functions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm not a math person, so I wouldn't know what the right terminology is there. But yeah. No, I think it's interesting. Anytime there's a dream or there's something like that at the end of the chapter, it's important. You're supposed to cue in on it. Think about it. And I think originally, yeah, this was a lot of people's conversation is what is there something special about, especially later by you get to the third book, you get that there's something special about dreams and seeing and Trelawney and that whole conversation will come up again. But it's interesting that it's here in the first book. And we sometimes overlook it because it's right mm-hmm. there. It's just a dream, whatever. But yeah, definitely Tiffany over at Swish and Flick really hardcore looked at
yeah,
that
exactly.
and is a big believer. So. I love it.
Yeah, but that's the fun of going back and rereading because you're always going to find stuff you missed the first time. So.
Yep.
Yeah. And yeah. Making connections, filling the gaps. That's always fun.
Yes, right. And you get through the whole thing and you're like, let me start over. And then that, like you said, that's where all the connections start coming yeah. together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. All right.
Deep and sweaty, like literally because I'm sweating over here.
Oh, I'm sweating. Lottie had my, earlier I had my scarf on. And
oh, okay.
she threw my scarf on and I mean, it just caught around your neck. It's like, I'm sweating. Like, I don't know if I can, you know, we got real deep and sweaty this chapter. So it's good. And so we bring Angelina on here and she's like, it's just really cool to have another perspective and have somebody else like give their thoughts on the chapter and like sort of elevate the conversation. We say.
Yes, I really appreciate you having me on today. This was the highlight of my summer.
Oh, it was just great. I mean, really for us though, like that, this has been a new thing. Actually, Angelina is like we had our friends on, but you're like the first guest who we, you know, we get to know another Potter friend and we get to like hang out. And now it's just really cool. Cause I feel like we can share things, in terms of like memes or funny things or stuff about Harry Potter or whatever. I mean, shoot, we'll probably be at the park at the same time. Sometime we'll have to do a hangout. You know what I mean?
I hope so. I mean, yeah. Like, you know, I wanted to go to the Kent this year, but
oh yeah,
wasn't able to make it, but like next year I'm like definitely gonna try. But
yeah,
any you guys come out to California Universal Disneyland?
Oh gosh, I was almost there for Star Wars Celebration and they'll be back there sooner than you know
at yeah
some point. I'll be back to do that and then swing over and check out you know stuff over at Universal. Yeah, because it's cool. I love it over there. And
so you had to come to Disneyland and get an at popcorn bucket.
Oh gosh, that'd be nice. That would be sick. Yeah, we actually were gonna go down in Florida and just didn't get a chance. We'll go at some point and I need to go see Galaxy's Edge and all that stuff. So
I mean, obviously that's been on the bucket list of trips too, you know, Disney World, Universal out in Florida. So
yeah.
Hopefully one day.
One day, yeah. All right. Well, hey, thanks again, Angelina. And I'm going to put a link down here again to you guys go follow her over on Instagram, Slytherin Reading Room. Make sure you follow her. And I love seeing you got the birthday cake over there and you read a lot of different books and just it's you're well read. I'll say that. Very well read, which is cool. I mean, because I'm always looking for I do a lot of different projects and podcasts where I read a lot of different things. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, I got to read it again. I got it, whatever. And I do like to take a break sometimes and just go check out something brand new because you never know what's out there. And I'm a big believer in literature, getting kids to read more books, audiobooks, yeah. whatever it takes. It's so fun. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's really cool. So be sure to go check out Angelina there. And thanks.
All right, friends. Well, hey, thanks for enduring all of the ups and downs and the peaking and the different audio dynamics, whatever you want to call it. Whatever that was, if you are still here listening, send us a message. And I feel like maybe we can get some, I don't know, some graphic design, little artwork, a little thank you something. If you reach out and follow us on Instagram, we would maybe be able to do that for you. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I do know a design witch. Because I just can't believe you're still here listening to this episode after all of that. Like, God bless you.
Thank you so much.
Really, thank you. And thanks to Angelina for coming on and doing all of that. It was wonderful. During the recording, I had such a good time. It was so cool. We got off. We were so pumped. You know what I mean? It was just such a cool experience. And then to look over and you're like, there's no audio track for me.
This is like the nightmare for every podcaster, especially when you have a guest.
Especially
and they make time
for
you in their calendar and squeeze it in for you. And
just know that we would always.
I just wanted to cry.
I did. I think I did cry a little bit, but it was totally my fault. I mean, again, it's something new, something we've never done it that way, and it's actually the perfect way to do it. To have a guest on, it's just you have to turn the second microphone on. I'm used to just only turning my one on, and it's just wild. So anyways, again, I know kind of went a little long on apologizing for that. But again, thank you guys so much. And if you are a guest in the future, we've got it all ironed out now. So thanks to Angelina for kind of getting us through that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Fool. So future guest, you can thank Angelina because we've got it all figured it out now. All right. True. There we go. So. All right, friends, well, that's all for this week. We will be back with an extendable ear edition. Thanks for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope you'll join us in the future. We thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like bambling, bumbling bands of baboons.
Baboons!
If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, be sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review and follow us over on social media at Fleur and Bill.
Yeah, especially check out our YouTube page because we're kind of uploading some shorts
scrolling.
There. Yep.
Scrolling.
If you're interested in hearing how powerful Professor McGonagall is, go check it out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It's actually Harry Potter Hangout.
Harry Potter Hangout, but we house the Shell Cottage Radio podcast over there. And who knows what it's going to turn into. Hogwarts Legacy's coming out, some streaming, some hangouts, all the good stuff. So
excited. Yeah. By the way, people.
Oh, but we have an extended outro.
I know.
Curveball after curveball over here. What's going on?
I just wanted to mention it's in 4 months, 22 days, and 3 hours is Christmas. Just for our Instagram people who love Christmas and are also excited for Christmas season.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited because we'll have Hogwarts Legacy and we can sip cocoa and watch Harry Potter.
Yes, that's exactly why I thought of that because of Hogwarts Legacy. Okay. I'm so excited. No, cool. Yeah. All right, next time. We will discuss Chapter 8 of Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Falafel? Harry Potter and the Falafel Stone. The Potions Master. I'm just going to leave that in
there. Okay.
So definitely don't miss out on next week's episode. Again, thanks for joining Blur's Book Club and their little shell cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home.
Almost forgot. Turn the lights off.
Right.
Just not all the way on the podcast, you know, like.
My biology teacher, Mr. Nichols, here in the States when I was here for a year, he always would be like so excited to show us some YouTube videos and TEDx talks. And he would always be so excited. And just like the student who would sit next to the light switch, he would always be like, get the lights.
Go get the lights. Somebody knocks that light switch. Wild.
All right. I just remembered that.
That's funny.
Okay. Enough stories.
And we're out.
Mic drop.
Please don't drop the mics.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% Lean Ground Sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.